This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Florida for this show. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. How's it shaking in your land and whatever nook and cranny you hail from? The big news is the burgeoning population and the shift politically in the United States. The amount of vaccines the U.S. is going to donate to another part of the world and how many people have been vaccinated among the stories that we'll talk about. So first, let's dive right into it. I think this is the buzz all over the country right now. It's how many are there in the United States? Just take a guess. I'm not even going to tell you. If you have not heard, I'm going to tell you in a minute, but how many people do you think live in the United States of America? And where do you think they live? You know what's interesting? According to the census, 331 million people are in the U.S. Texas is going to add 2 congressional seats. New York is going to lose a House seat and an Electoral College vote after falling 89 residents short in the census count. So where do all these people live? 331 million of us. You know what the census says? First of all, the 2020 census shows that the U.S. population grew from roughly 308.7 million in 2010 to 331.4 million. That's a 7.5% almost increase. But that is actually the slowest population growth since 1930 to 1940, that 10-year period, the decade of the Great Depression. So the U.S. population has more than quadrupled since the 1900 census, just to put it into perspective for you. When we look at states and we look at populations, the South and the West saw the biggest population explosion between 2010 and 2020. What happened in the South? The South grew overall, southern states grew from roughly 114.6 million in 2010 to 126.3 million. That's an increase of nearly, well, do the math, 12 million or so people. The West grew by 6.6 million, this is a lot of numbers, to 78.6 million people in 2020. So the state population totals are used in redistricting, and that comes every 10 years. When some states gain seats, like I mentioned, Texas, some lose. And the winners this time around, as far as growth, Texas, Florida, Colorado, Montana, they gain seats. Among those that gain seats, California, New York, losing seats. So they give up territory, right? And it's interesting, we'll break it down over this week. We'll break it down because there's so much we could chunk out of this as to, you know, who's losing seats where. And of course, in New York, they lose a seat. New York lost one seat since 2010. They have 26 reps in the House. Pennsylvania lost a rep. Ohio loses a rep. And then there's those that can't. I mentioned already, Colorado picks up one. Oregon picks up a rep. Texas picks up 2. Florida picks up 1. I mean, you see how this game goes. That's why the emphasis on the census is so big. When you hear the commercials that when you're driving around on your favorite radio station where you're listening to me right now, or you flip on the tube, or you get a direct mail piece, and it seems like they're hounding you, this is why. Because if people don't fill it out, if people aren't counted, that could mess up ultimately what happens with the political. The politics could shift with redistricting depending on where you live and how it would be redistricted. All right, I feel like this is like the number segment, right, by accident. But we tripped into this, so vaccinated. 141 million people have been vaccinated. That covers 52.7% of the eligible population, that would mean 16 and older, 42.5% of the total population. It's still about the variants. It's still about how horrible it is in India. It's scary, frankly, to watch that, to see that happening there. But it's not a surprise, because if you look at the population, then you do the math with vaccine availability and how many people are crowded in, etc. Well, it was almost inevitable, I think. Almost inevitable. The U.S. is going to help our brothers and sisters in other places. They're going to share as many as 60 million doses of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vax as soon as they get the federal approval in the coming months. This is a big announcement. It's something we knew would possibly happen, but because so many people have the vaccine and are partially vaccinated, the places like India, I mean, the devastating spike, I said it before, 353,000 new coronavirus infections on Monday. That's a world record for the fifth day. They're overwhelmed. I mean, shortage, critical of oxygen. So AstraZeneca is trying to come to the rescue. The U.S. is trying to pump that out there. They need the doses, right? But, of course, there are lots of questions about that. The plans to share more vaccines, does that begin to outweigh the demand across the U.S.? Some states are turning down or scaling vaccine shipments. So far, the U.S. has purchased 1.2 billion doses. That's enough to twice vaccinate the entire population. But the entire population is not getting the vaccine. They're not getting the vaccine. So that's part of the big difference there. Yeah. All right. California's governor in hot water, baby. Newsom is going to face a recall vote as this petition is reaching their signature goal. I'm not shocked really by it. I think the pandemic partly did Gavin Newsom in. People were frustrated, including some people who may label themselves Democrats or liberals, furious. I don't know if they would vote to recall him, though. That's another story. I think there are enough people that would, however. So the Secretary of State said that the organizers of a petition drive to force a recall election of Newsom, the governor, have gathered the 1.6 million valid signatures, more than enough to qualify for the ballot. The 1.6 million signatures are about 100,000 more than needed to force a vote on the first term Democrat. So people have now 30 days to withdraw their signatures if they change their mind, which would be highly unlikely, I think. In 2003, you'll remember, on the left coast, voters recalled Democratic Governor Gray Davis and replaced him with a movie star. I'll be back. Of course, Republican Arnold Schwarzenegger. So now here we go. He's under some serious fire. I mean, he was elected governor in 2018, previously served as a lieutenant governor and mayor of San Francisco. He's aggressively touring the state, touting progress on vaccines. And I think he's in trouble. He wouldn't be doing that if he didn't fear that the sword could come down on him. You can see it. You can see it in his face. All right, coming back, your thoughts. We're going to go to the mailbag next.
Tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us.
That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs loves Beyond Tangy Tangerine, a complete nutritional supplement from Longevity. That's why he recommends it to everyone he meets and takes it himself every day.
Beyond Tangy Tangerine, my personal favorite Longevity product, multivitamin, mineral complex powder. You add it to water and drink. It's a great way to get yourself off the snack foods. It's a great way to demonstrate to folks who are non-believers in nutritional supplementation how effective a supplement program can be. It's great for kids. It tastes awesome. It's less than $50 a month, and it's truly a cornucopia of nutrition. Vitamins A, C, D, E, K, your B complex.
To get a nutritional supplement that's loaded with nutrients that even your kids will like, order Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Longevity by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Talk about the mail, please, Mac. I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay? Oh, yeah.
Thanks for all the email once again, Kate Delaney. We are in Florida, but through the miracle of the internet, I can get and read all that kind of good stuff, your emails, although in some remote locations, it might have been a little bit more difficult. You can always flip me your thoughts 24/7, Kate at Kate Delaney Radio. com, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. So let's dive right into it. This one is from Justin, who says, "Hey, Kate, I heard lots of stories about the whole census shift and the numbers and the political power, and good for Republicans. Let's hope it's the stronger Republicans and not the weenie Republicans who just go along and shuffle on down the road. I think that some of the areas, Texas, Florida, and North Carolina, are strong Republican strongholds. So it will be interesting to see what happens when they redistrict some of these areas. And the data that was released isn't all bad, though, for Democrats, that there certainly were some congressional gains, too, for Democrats. And the margins in some states that determined the final congressional count were pretty thin, New York losing a seat because of a shortfall of only 89 people. I said it before, and obviously he's alluding to it. I guess I think he is. That's why you have to fill out the census, because the more people that do, the more accurate count you have and handle you have on the areas where you live, breathe, etc., versus being reactionary. I guess that's it, being reactionary. So it's always about, to me, taking action. You want to be in the driver's seat. Okay, let's move on to Zach. And Zach says, "Kate, I am just so sick of hearing about shootings, whether it's at churches, whether it's at schools, whether it's people with their hands up, whether it's some other form of abuse. I just I just don't get it. I mean, I guess I do get it, and that's a silly, inane thing to say, but I'm tired of it. That's what it is. This is not my America. People, wake up. What is going on? Well, you're echoing the thoughts of a lot of people that they're tired of flipping on the tube or listening to this fabulous radio station that you hear me on now and hearing some of the things that are being said. I mean, we've talked about this for the last decade. We've talked about this. This is nothing new. We keep talking about it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Let's move on. This one is from Terry, who says, Kate, I happened to catch this story and I thought of you, so I thought I would share it. If you did not see it, it's sweet. He sent me a link to it and I happened to see it. As an ex-security cop, Homeland Security is investigating domestic extremism among their own that can't bode well for any of us, that they feel the need for an investigation, that it's that bad in the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Well, I always say this, right? And you probably say it too. There are so many aspects of our lives that are microcosms of what life is really like. And I think this is one of them, and chunking it down. Are we shocked that there's threat of domestic violence, extremism? And it, with their own ranks? No, I'm not shocked about it. And I think so much of this stems from January 6th and the attack on the Capitol. U.S.-based extremist. It's, again, worth looking into, I suppose, right? The president called for funding to investigate any complaints of white supremacist belief at immigration enforcement agencies within the DHS in his first budget proposal, which was unveiled, of course, this month. So, a couple of things there. One, why not have the backup? You know, that's that Big Brother argument in a way. How much is too much that the government knows about you? And I think, and maybe this is a jaded view, and it's not really my overall view, if they want to know something about you, I have a feeling they're going to find it out about you. I'd worry more about what's true that's out there. Domestic extremism is a major, major focus of investigations into the Capitol attack. And the members of the right-wing extremist groups like the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, are just among a handful of them now facing federal charges in connection with all of the violence. And watching that unfold the way it did at the Capitol, it was sickening to me. A protest is a protest, and I'm all for it. I'm all for people protesting. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth because we have a voice. We're not having state-run radio or television pumped into our ears. It's embracing all of that. It's finding a way to embrace it, and it's not easy. We know that already. It is not easy. All right, I'm not going to solve that problem overnight, although we will come back and address it again. Let's go to Jackson, who says, defund the police, yay or nay? What do you think? It could be a defund temporarily. It's not. The word defund is so severe. It's just off my radar, and I don't think it should be on your radar, too. But 62% of registered voters oppose defunding the police. This is a Fox News poll that was released on Monday. The survey is less than a week after a jury in Minneapolis found the former cop, Derek Chauvin, guilty of murdering George Floyd. Floyd's death last May sparked national protests. You know that outrage over the policies, the tactics. And, of course, Floyd was black. Chauvin is white. We move on to yet another email here. Let's get to this one. This one is from Hal, and Hal says, hey, Kate, I was wondering what Florida was like. What part of Florida are you in? I used to live in Florida. I loved it. I'm wondering if you got any time in the sun, and are you melting as a result of it? Because, you know, the weather in Florida and the heat is much more oppressive than I think some people realize. Okay, love that setup. So if we compare the heat of other places I've lived in my life, I've heard so often, oh, it's a dry heat. But when you go to Florida, it's all that humidity. And it is humidity. But I've actually had really brilliant weather. It hasn't been awful at all. It's been rather nice. So while I have the show on the road and I'm doing that, the thing that we're doing here at night, and while I'm giving a speech, etc., I've taken time in between to do some long walks in some incredibly beautiful places. So thanks for asking that question. Central Florida and then the coastline, not on the East Coast, but on the West Coast. It's funny how people, well, I guess in any state, people have preferences of what they like and what they don't like. All right, I'm trying to squeeze in some more here. Here's Murray. I don't know if we've ever heard from Murray before. And Murray says, Kate, I know you got to be a whiskey drinker. I'm just thinking my Irish girl has to like whiskey. And did you see that the oldest known whiskey is going to be up for auction? I wonder what it'll fetch. I did see that. I don't know where it was, but it must have been someplace. It must have been someplace where we both had a chance to see. So I'm thinking it was like USA Today or CNN or Fox or wherever, someplace. But it might have been on all of those places, both on the internet and on TV and on radio. Well, anyway, this whiskey bottle, I know it because it was bottled in LaGrange, Georgia. And I was in LaGrange, Georgia in 2019. It's a really cool place. And this old Ingledew whiskey is believed to be the oldest known whiskey in existence. That's according to Skinner, which they're facilitating this auction. So, of course, there's going to be an auction. It's an online auction. I love that you brought this up. This would have been a mic drop moment, right, had I been in the main studio. But the online auction is set for June 22nd through the 30th. Bids are expected to fall between $20,000 to $40,000. Are you kidding? So carbon 14 dating done in conjunction with the University of Georgia indicates the bourbon was likely produced between 1762 and 1802. That's crazy. That would like be the Revolutionary War, the Whiskey Rebellion. Look it up if you don't know it. And it would be wild to own that. But if you had the money and you paid $40,000 for that, right? I don't know. What would you do? I mean, this has like a crazy history. It would just be on display somewhere. What do you do with that once you have it? To actually see it, or to be at that auction, or just to know about it, but to have it, maybe I'm just not getting it. All right. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. A state of emergency has been declared in Elizabeth City, New Jersey. This after the attorney for Andrew Brown Jr.'s family, Benjamin Crump, told reporters outside the Elizabeth City Police Station that they were supposed to see the full body cam video on Monday, but that they're being stonewalled. Jones Jr. was shot by police last week as they were trying to serve a warrant. Protests continuing Monday, NAACP President of Elizabeth City, Keith Rivers, telling Fox News he wants the protests to remain peaceful.
We're going to continue to advocate peaceful protests. That's why we ask everybody to go home and take a deep breath.
For the first time ever, California will lose one seat in the U.S. House of Representatives based on census data that was released on Monday. Texas is gaining two seats. Florida and a handful of other states will gain one. USA Radio News. The Justice Department will investigate the police department in Louisville, Kentucky. Attorney General Merrick Garland making that announcement on Monday.
The Justice Department is opening a civil investigation into the Louisville-Jefferson County Metro Government and the Louisville Metro Police Department.
As far as what the Justice Department will be looking into?
To determine whether LMPD engages in a pattern or practice of violations of the Constitution or federal law.
President Biden is expected to announce his $1.9 trillion American Families Plan during his address to a joint session of Congress on Wednesday. The funding plan is expected to include $225 billion to subsidize child care, $200 billion for free pre-K, and $225 billion to establish 12-week national paid family and medical leave. This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
And he's written the book of reception, and it's fascinating because of the, for lots of reasons, but the journey that he's been on. So, Steve, tell us, first of all, what happened when you were a child and your relationship with God?
As soon as I started going to school, straight away, the teacher, I found that I had a reading disorder and I couldn't read. So the teacher sort of would get me to read, and I would stumble and stumble and stumble, and then she brought my mum and dad in and showed them that I was unable to read. And so I went home with no real answer to what I would do. So I first started memorizing the words, but then the teacher saw that was a trick, and so she went and got another book and got me to read that, and then showed that I wasn't any good. So then I just went in my room and just started wondering how I'm going to fix this, and I just sought God. You know, I just knew God was real because I'd gone to Sunday school and loved him and loved Moses. So I just sought God. But unfortunately, I had a lot of, I wasn't a good boy. I'd stolen some money at that point, and I decided to go and tell my father I stole it and give it, and then he made me give it back and say sorry and everything. And so that left him a bit disappointed with me, but God was quite pleased with the way I did it. So that was sort of established a method of where it wasn't so much that I would sin, but if I sinned, God would always bring me back to correction. So it was always an education, always schooling. And that schooling then is also taking over from my normal schooling, which I've got a reading disorder. So it's sort of trying to hide one thing within the other, and so that then I could fulfill and be a normal boy. But,
and so you go from that to then this journey, you create this book of the documents that you were telling me that the documents that go back 6,000 years that you received from God, and you were trying to tell people, and people weren't having it. They wouldn't hear you, right?
You're basically getting everyone on their own opinions and their own prejudice and their positions that they take. So God said to me that they will treat me the way they treat him. So they're going to treat me honestly. So I'm going to know them by what they do. And so you can actually read a lot into how they've come to their conclusions and why they're dismissing you. So you see, the subtleties of with God isn't just knowing this or knowing that. It's actually knowing a lot more. And there's a lot more, you know, we could say, oh, he's doing that because he thinks this. But if we look in deeper, we might find that, no, there's actually another reason. And he didn't choose that at all. He even knew that he wasn't going to choose that. You know, we make our assumptions to bring people down a lot, not to raise them up. So,
yeah.
You know, I felt for all these people that that's what they were. That was their lives. That was how they are. They don't, you know, people go to church on Sunday. Well, that's not being with God. You have to be good with God 24 hours a day. You know, God is a conscience. We have to discern ourselves in all the things that we do. We have to think. And in that, there's a lot of subtleties. Like people say, I'll never forgive you. But that's not what they're saying. They're actually using the word acceptance, but using the word forgiveness instead. And in the word forgiveness, there is no acceptance. You do not accept the sin. Forgiveness is a contract for the victim to feel comfortable with the perpetrator. So the contract is quite important, and it's not acceptance. So when people say, I won't forgive you, they're not. It's nothing to do with forgiveness. It's acceptance. And that really is more the aggressor trying to take control and make us accept his aggressive nature. So it's a trick, you see. It's like the flesh tricks us. It tells us that the sin is in the spirit. But look, the hand is the thief. The mouth is lying. Where is their spirit there, you know? The spirit isn't lying. And all of us are only witnesses of the spirit's existence in the flesh, because it was existing before we were born, but now we are the flesh of the spirit. And yet we, as the witness, want to take over and be the owner. And, oh, look how great we are. You know, we should respect the spirit within us, because, you know, Adam only had one breath breathed into him. And when we die, that breath leaves us. So it's only one breath. There's no Satan. There's no other demon. There's no demonic creature. There is a Father that loves us, that created this whole universe for us. And we should love that. We should love the fact that we've been given an extra position to an animal, which is we can say no. Animals can't say no. They just die. Whereas we can say no, and we can be argumentative with God. But God likes that, you see. You know, we don't have free will. We have choice, and God knows all our choices. He's already designed the roads. So we're only choosing. If we had free choice, we could change the road. But we can't change the road. We can choose the good road or the bad road. And it's a matter of everyone has to decide. I don't care if someone wants to go to hell. I say, go. I'll come and get you when you're sick of it. Because that's all that's going to happen. You're going to get sick of it. Heaven is not being sick of it. And so it always has to be changing. Always has to be fluid. You know, Christ teaches us the fluidness of kindness and decency. You know, he has the ultimate fluidness. He is the drop of water that never mixes with the sea and can arrive at any shore he chooses, because he has choice. So if we go and do sin, we'll lose our choice. And if we become a master of our repentance, then God can't free us from it. So we need to clear our repentance, you know, get rid of it. The book is about cleansing the earth. God's going backwards now, and we're going back 6,000 years all the way to the garden, and God's going to cleanse every single day, and we're going to go back to our births. This year happens to be 20 years since we started going backwards. And so people that were 20 years old 20 years ago are now going to be 40 this year and have the Ten Commandments written upon their hearts. So this year is the end of the whole event. We're about to enter the Ten Commandments time of life, because the Ten Commandments will tell us in our heart what to do. And it's just a matter of learning. I mean, at the moment, men teach our brains to be wrong, so our hearts are struggling. But the time now is coming when the heart is going to be taught, because we're going to learn the principles that God teaches us, and we're going to learn the precepts, and we're going to learn the Ten Commandments. You know, the principles are the laws of love, and the precepts are the precepts of understanding. Because when we go to get something, we need to pack the bag properly, so we pack our bag of precepts for understanding. So, you know, we need to do these things. God has a new covenant now that he wants to make with the world, and I have it sitting in my house, you know, and it's an agreement where we go to school and learn the laws of love and learn the Ten Commandments, and then we go out into the world, and we sign that agreement that we're going to keep the laws of love and we're going to keep the Ten Commandments. But if the people of this world don't want to do that, then I'm not sure how we're going to survive. You know, right now they say climate change, but that came in 95. My morning star came in 93. All this stuff on earth is lying. They've silenced the scientists of religion. And we need to ask, why are the scientists of religion silent? Because this looks like curses from God. And if they aren't saying this looks like curses from God, then I guess the governments have silenced them. This COVID virus, they're not doing pre-treatments. They're saying, wait till the tests. Well, the person's bled out. He's dead. You stop the bleeding straight away. You treat the symptoms. And they are lying. We don't need this vaccine. We need to get our bodies healthy. And we need to get used to this virus, because it's a dry flu, and the other flu was a wet flu. And these are the two types that we have, wet and dry. Now, whether man made this virus or whether God made this virus, it doesn't matter. It's in God's hands now. He now has hand on it. So we need to do something about our relationship with God. And we need to put our hand in with him and love him, because he's our spirit. We're nothing without him. Sorry.
And the Book of Reception is that part of that journey, is helping you on that journey.
The Book of Reception is just simply God's plans of creation and how they came in. And the guy that wrote it's very egotistical. He thinks he's the greatest person on earth. And so, you know, a lot of people hate my book because the person that wrote it's so much ego, you know, he's so up himself. but, you know, it takes you on a journey. And what I show in there is life living experiences. You can't beat them. One day I'll be able to teach people a lot more, but at the moment we just got to wait. But, you know, I've been given a new position by God now. I've been given the position of the high priest of the school of God, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher in the school of God. I'm still a student, because I've always been a student all my life. That's what I was talking about, the method and how I managed to solve my problems. But as the high priest, you know, it's a matter of bringing these schooling things in so that we can start learning, because things have to change on this earth. We have to stop playing flat earth syndrome games, you know. If there's a lot of suns out there in the universe, I should be able to see one of them, and I can't. So I think there's a flat earth game going on there. You go in the church and they say Satan in the spirit. Well, we got rid of the multi-gods, so now we've got multi-spirits, and I think that's a flat earth game as well. And in the medical profession, I think if they don't heal you, but they have methods that look after you for all of your life, I think that's false. Because I think repair would be better than just managing my sickness for all of my life. And I don't like managing sickness. I would rather cure it.
Steve Garner's book, The Book of Reception, you can get it on Amazon. Steve, wow, I'll be very curious to see even some more reaction to this. But thanks so much for sharing your gift.
Thank you for bringing me on.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Author's Corner is Jack Schauer. He's written a book called The Rebirth. Jack, thanks for coming on. Tell us what your book's about.
Well, I'm kind of taking some literary license. Some of my favorite philosophers, Jean-Paul Sartre and Albert Camus, basically those two people, which they're known as existentialists. They have survived into older age, they're in their 90s. I don't know if that works out, but what I was trying to do is how people can change over time. In the case of Camus, he was killed in a car accident in 1960, but I have him as surviving the car crash and living on into older age, and he's now a Roman Catholic. And Sartre, who's known mostly for existentialism, supports Marxism, Marxist thought, and he pretty much believes in that as far as transferring creating in countries in South America or Africa, smaller countries that are having problems that Marxist thought workers' revolution is going to somehow is the answer for the problems in the modern world.
Yeah. Let me stop you for a second. So I want to reset this so people understand the rebirth, and you're explaining it, but you're going a little deep on us. It's Paris. Okay. It's 2005. Albert Camus, and Sartre and Pia Pascal and a Catholic priest. It's like the dinner party almost. They get together and they have survived, as you said, in their older age. So it's cool. You're taking the liberty, like you said, with history. And what's neat about it is they're debating trends in philosophy. They're looking at historical philosophy. They're tracing it back to the roots. And then they're looking at what's happening presently. They're looking at the American-Iraqi war. What made you think of this?
Well, it was about the time of the American-Iraqi war when I conceived of this whole thing. I'm just speaking on my behalf. I'm a liberal Democrat, so I was an anti-George W. Bush fan. And in my novel, Albert Camus feels that what occurred there was, the terrorism that brought down the Twin Towers, and then, but to make matters worse, than America was seeking revenge. You had George Bush saying, the good and evil, he's splitting it into good and evil, that we're good and they're evil. And then we attacked them and probably murdered just as many people in Iraq as we did at home. And nothing was really accomplished it's because they basically got their society back. Anyway, Camus is in his older age. He's very much, he's obviously anti-terrorist. He actually blames the Americans for having taken revenge. And so that's as far as,
Yeah, as that aspect goes, exactly. So what do you hope people take away from reading The Rebirth?
Well, there's a lot of people that probably haven't even heard of existentialism or even Albert Camus or Sartre. Back just post-World War II, there was a lot of obviously there was a lot of confusion back then, and at that time Camus was an atheist, so was Sartre. They lived in two posts. After World War II, I think the main thing is to come away. I say the rebirth, I mean Camus, that it's possible for people to transform themselves within the immediate present and so forth, and actually become, if they have free choice, to become possibly somebody completely different, completely opposite.
Opposite. Yeah, of what they are.
And starts the same way. He, when we start out, they're hopping bars and stuff like that, and he's having psychological, psychiatric problems, and he still believes in Marxism, socialism. So,
he changes what he thinks. That's the discussion, that you can be open to changing when you're really have dug in, and that's what you are, and that's the label that
it's possible to look at something differently. And I think that's the rebirth.
Right. And it's interesting that Sartre has a nervous breakdown. He ends up in the hospital. He's having psychotic problems, and he checks himself into the hospital. He's been abusing drugs, taking different drugs and so forth, uppers and downers. And he's obsessed with suicide, which is something that Camus addressed many years ago. Anyway, he signs himself out the next day because he's feeling paranoid and the walls are closing in on him. So he's barely in there one night. He gets out with the idea that he's going to commit suicide. He just doesn't see any way out. He can't take it anymore. He ends up, he decides he's going to stop at the, he's going to walk over to the River Zane and throw himself in and kill himself. In the meantime, Camus and Pascal are quite concerned about, what's happening with him, because the last time they were out at the bar, he was acting really strange and everything, and they were trying to check up on him to make sure he was okay. When they got to the hospital, they decided to go to the hospital. They got to the hospital, and they said, well, he's checked out AMA. He's not here anymore. And so they drive around Paris. They can't seem to find him. So they go back for some lunch and wine back at Camus' place. And then he decided, we're going to look for him again. And for some reason, they started walking to the river. Meantime, Sartre has had a spiritual experience. He was just about to throw himself into the water, and he had a Bible with him. He had stopped at a church on the way over to the river. He has a Bible. He opens the Bible, and there's a verse in there that just clicks for him. And he has a reborn experience.
Wow.
Yeah, he has a reborn experience which completely changes his life. But anyway, on the way back from the Zane, he actually runs into Camus and Pascal Pia, and there's also a priest I forgot to mention.
Yeah, I mentioned the priest when I said that the four of them got together. We don't want to give away all the details. We don't want to give all the details away, Jack. So we want to wrap it up by telling people that they can learn more about this conversation and see what can happen, as you said, in the rebirth. Jack Schauer, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.